Thank you. Again, we come to you with the word of God from 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 2. Again, may I plead with you who are Christians especially to read the word of God. Remember, we are born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Of his own will begat he us by the word of truth. And it's only as we grow in the word of God can we become mature Christians. And we've been discussing in this first chapter especially what we should be before God in our character. Before God were to be holy, and before men were to manifest genuine love. Now when we come to chapter 2, in the first 10 verses he is dealing with the fact that we're a new race of people. You know, I think so many Christians forget this, that when you and I accept the Savior, we're not only new creatures in Christ, but we belong to a new race. The old race in Adam was condemned to death. Death reigns over the old race. Now we've come to a new race. Our Lord could say in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, to as many as received him, Christ Jesus, to them he gives the right, the authority, to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but who are born of God. In chapter 3 of John, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He must be born from above. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. God is bringing into being a new race of people. God has no more confidence in the old race. I was talking to a young man not long since, and he said, you know, I've changed my belief. I used to believe just the way you believe. But now, he said, I've got confidence that man is going to be able to pull himself out of the box he's in. He said, I've got great confidence in man. I said, yes, you have more confidence in man than God does. God has no confidence in man. Take the last part of chapter 1 of Peter. The life of man is what? As the glory of man is the flower of grass. All flesh is as grass. And the glory of man is of the flower of grass, and the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. It's a passing, transient thing. But the word of God is forever settled in heaven. Lasts forever. It's as eternal as God himself. And I say very reverently, and very kindly, and yet firmly, that when a sinner receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, the Spirit of God, having taken the Word of God and making it real to that heart, they become as eternal as the Word of God. And the Word of God is as eternal as the one who gave it, the eternal, sovereign, living God. Wonderful thing. Now then, this people is a separate people. In the first verse of chapter 2, we are a separate people. Now, as I say, in the first 10 verses of chapter 2, we are, Peter talks about as being a new race of people. And we were discussing that in closing. Because we're a new race, born of the Word of God, we ought to throw off as an old garment such things as malice, or as someone has well said, a vicious disposition, and all deceit, and all hypocrisies, and all envyings, and all evil speaking, slander, and so on. Get rid of the whole business. Why? It doesn't belong to this new race. That belongs to the old race. Those things were done when we were outside of Christ. Those things were done when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Those things were done when we were children of wrath. Now we're the children of God. We're born of an eternal living God. What shall we do then? Throw them off. Now the next thing is, in verses 2 to 8, how we grow. Or our growth in God. Now, Peter pleads for separation in verse 1 on the ground of relationship. But now he's addressing these newborn babes in Christ, and these things apply to us. A great many of God's people are still children. They've never grown. I don't want to call them midgets, but I want to call them babies. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in 4 verses, Paul says to these Corinthians, who had all the gifts of the Spirit, were full of knowledge, etc., waiting for the coming of the Lord, and yet 4 times in 4 verses he says, are you not carnal? I've got to treat you like babies. You see, these for the time, like you have it in, allow me to quote from Hebrews chapter 5, the last, from about verses 12 to 15, when he said, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, there are a great many people who have been professing Christians for years, but they have never grown. Why? Because they've never been fed upon the Word of God. My friend, may I say very kindly, this is one of the things that breaks a man's heart. I find so many, even evangelical Christians, who know so little of the purpose and program of God for them. They know so little of their relationship to the living God. Oh, yes, you ask them, certainly we are children of God. Yes, we've had forgiveness. Yes, we're going to heaven. That's about all they know. They've been born, they've been brought to the birth, but have never been fed. Now, Peter is talking to some of these. And I read in verses 2 and 3, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious. Now, how are we going to grow? We who have come out of darkness into his marvelous light, we've had a tremendous change. We've come into a new world. We've come into a new family. What shall I do? Well, you know, I'm reminded of that verse of Peter, of Timothy rather, where Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, when he said, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. We ought to grow through the Word of God. And if we nourish our souls on the Word of God, we will grow and we will be obedient and we'll be submissive to Him. You see, babies are guileless. They're frail. They're dependent. They're always hungry. There's an intense desire for them, for milk. You take a baby. Have you ever gone into a home, or maybe it's in your home, where you've got a baby about 6 months of age and it's time for the bottle, and the baby's lying on its back, and when you come along with a bottle, every muscle in that baby moves. The feet go up and the hands go up and the mouth is open and there's a scream. The baby sees the milk. Everything in its being wants that milk. You say, it's hungry for milk. Now then, have you accepted the Savior? Why haven't you grown? Because of a lack of desire. And I'm not blaming you. It's maybe you've never been taught. You haven't been encouraged. This is a tragedy. Thousands of people have accepted the Savior and they've made no growth from the time they were saved. With the result, when you meet them, you wonder if they're really saved. We expect them to act like men when they're still babies. Please, please do not judge the family of God by its babies. There are a lot of babies. But the question is, have you got a hunger for the Word of God? Do you have an intense desire for food where the whole being is moving for it? You know, the mother who gives birth to the baby is also the one who feeds the baby. And the one, the Word of God that brings us into a new life, is also the same word that feeds us. All to long for the pure, unadulterated spiritual word of God. Not watered down. Not mixed with the philosophies of men. Let us be like David when he said in the 42nd Psalm, the first verse, as the hart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And you remember the Apostle Paul could say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when I come to you, Christians, you Corinthians, I don't want to know anything about you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What for? Lest your faith might stand in the wisdom of men instead of standing in the power of God. Now I'm spending time here because I believe it's very, very vital. As I said a moment ago, I have met so many Christian people, and I don't question their salvation. I wouldn't doubt their word for a moment. But one sees so little hunger for the Word of God. On the other hand, I have met so many of late really hungry for the Bible, hungry for the Word of God. and they don't know where to get it. They don't know where to get the bottle. They don't know where to get the milk of the word. Will you pray with me that the Lord will raise up in these days pastors and teachers who will feed the people of God upon the word of God? Men who will give themselves and the real purpose in life to know the word of God and then be able to give forth that word in the power of the Holy Spirit? Not to choke them, but to feed them on the milk of the word. If so be, says the writer, if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Healthy babies are always hungry. It's when a baby stops being hungry, you begin to question, is something wrong with my baby? I wonder about the children of God when I see their lack of hunger. Are they diseased? Is something smitten them? Have they got a bug? Have they really been born again? Is there any sign of life? I remember one time my niece's baby was very, very sick, and they called me. Have you called the doctor? Yes, but we can't get him. Well, the baby lay there on the table. In fact, I thought the baby was dead. And so I called a friend of mine who was a doctor, and I said, if you had a baby very, very ill, whom would you call? He said, Dr. So-and-so. I said, would you call him for me? He doesn't know me. You call him. And I gave him the address. Do you know, before we got through, we had three doctors there. First doctor came and he picked up the baby and put his stethoscope on the baby and pulse and everything else and made some suggestions and left. But the next man who came was this specialist. He picked up the baby, looked in its ears, looked at the child and said, didn't even put a stethoscope on it. He said, what's wrong with your child? Is it your problem? I thought the child was dead. I was really concerned. And believe me, as I said before we got through, we had three doctors there. When the third one came, we said, that Dr. So-and-so had already been there, thanked him for coming and so on. But we were concerned. Why? We saw no sign of life in the baby. A healthy baby is moving, that activity, sleeps well, and eats well. Is always hungry. The moment it gets out of its sleep, what to do? Yells out. What do you do? Feed it. That's the only way it can tell you it's hungry. You know, babies, I've oftentimes say babies do three things. Babies sleep. And then they yell, and then they feed. Then they go back to sleep again. They rest, and they feed, and they rest, and they feed. And this way is how they grow. But you've got to feed them. Otherwise, they do some yelling. You know, when I think of the people of God, oh, so many have put their trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, and they've never grown. Can I be a little personal to you? It may be I'm talking to some today. And some time ago, I don't know when it was, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've been disappointed, and you went among God's people, and there wasn't much fellowship there, and you were not instructed and encouraged to read your Bible, and when you did pick it up, it was dry. Nobody could explain it to you. You were just dried up in your soul, and you wondered, well, I guess there's nothing to this after all. There's just nothing to this question of salvation. My friend, may I tell you, when a baby is born into the world, the very first thing you do with a baby is to care for it. And you feed it. And you nurture it. Until that child is able to grow, stand upon its own feet, and begin to ask for the things that it needs. May I suggest to you, if you're a young Christian, may I urge upon you, plead with you, to get into the Word of God. And the more you read it, the more you'll want to read it. The more you know of it, the more you want to know of it. Here I am, a grown man. If I stop eating, I'll shrink up in myself, and I lose my appetite. You see, what's the matter with that fellow Mitchell? He's getting so thin, and he's emaciated. Yes, I'm just robbing myself of food, and I have no desire for it. Now, let us not be like that. A healthy body demands food. A healthy soul demands food. And where can I get it? Now, Peter says, as newborn babes, just as babies are hungry for the word of God, intense desire for the word of God. If so be you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. See, I suggest for your reading, by the way, the last half of the 19th Psalm, because growth depends upon the assimilation of the food you have. If you can't assimilate food, it's no good to you. So the growth spiritually depends upon continual assimilation of the food which God has given to you. And poor feeding stunts your growth. So let's get some good milk for these babies. There must be growth. My friend, there must be growth. I was quoting a few minutes ago from Hebrews 5. When for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, may I say, I have to talk to you not as unto spiritual, says Paul, but as unto babies. Why? Because you're carnal. In 1 John 2:13, he talks about the babies in Christ, to be occupied with the person of Christ. And the more you taste the Word of God, the more it excites your appetite for more things. Now, I'd like to encourage you to feed on the Word of God. If so be, of course, you have tasted that the Lord is good, if you've really accepted the Savior, you need spiritual nourishment. Do you remember Jesus said in John chapter 5, 39 to 40, you do search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Christ must be the center. He is, as John chapter 6 said, He is the bread of life. Do you feed on the Word? You say, Mr. Mitchell, it's no use me reading it. I don't understand it. Friend, listen. You'll never understand it unless you keep on reading it. If you stop reading just because you don't understand every verse you read, you'll never get very far. Read it, read it, read it. There are some things I've been studying the Word of God for nearly 50 years. I want to tell you, my friend, there are some things in the Word of God that I don't even know yet. But I'll tell you one thing, the more you get into it, the more you love it. And it's a wonderful thing to sit down and read a whole book through. Just read it through. It'll do something to you that nothing else will do. I'd urge upon you to read the four Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read it as a book. And then go on and read the book of Acts. And then read the epistles of Paul where you get your doctrine. If you want to know something of the love and compassion of God, read the Gospels. If you want to read about the responsibility of witnessing to the world, read the book of Acts. If you want to know your position in Christ, read the Pauline epistles. If you want to have hope because of persecution, read Peter. If you want to know something about the real intimacy of fellowship with God, then read the epistles of John. So on. Get into the Word of God. And grow. Please don't continue to be babies. And like a newborn babe, a physical babe, hungry for the Word of God, may God grant you and I may be the same way, hungry for the Word of God. And may I ask you a question, friend? If you haven't been reading the Word of God, will you start today? Will you start today? Just read. I don't care where you read. Go ahead and read it, will you? Read 1 Peter with me, and we'll discuss it later. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.